You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Welcome to Line Noise, and we're doing one of our jazzier episodes today. I love to do a bit of jazz because I spoke to Femi and Ife from Ezra Collective, one of Britain's premier jazz bands. God, that makes a sound off, but they're a great band. Before they played the Korea Festival in Barcelona. When we did the interview, I was still rather blown away by the fact that Femi had been taught to drum by none other than Tony Allen. So we kind of went into that. That news had emerged literally the day before. There is a lot of drummers and drumming chat, and I make no apologies for that because it's the best. So we talked about drummers, we talked about drumming, we talked about them as a live band, we talked about what's going on in London, and we also talked about their fourth studio album, Here Because of Hope. I really hope you enjoy the interview, and don't forget that Line Noise comes to you with the support of Cupra. Ezra Collective, yeah. It's lovely to meet you. How are you doing?
Feeling great, man. Happy to be back in Barcelona. It's been a while since we've been here, so yeah, grateful to be here.
So I'm still slightly reeling from the fact that I discovered yesterday that Tony Allen taught you to drum.
Yeah.
Crazy. For anyone who hasn't read the Guardian article, what happened?
So I was in a pub in East London, and someone came up to me and said, "Who's your favourite drummer?" I was like, "Tony Allen," and then he kind of walked away, and then he gave me a phone, and on the phone was Tony Allen, and I asked him, "Can I play drums? Like, can you teach me to play the drums?" And that was it. One question, and that was it.
But that just doesn't happen.
It doesn't. Has any of your heroes ever taught you the drum? No, to be honest, I like your Winton story.
I was able to, play for Winton one time at backstage at Barbican, so that was special for me to play to him. So yeah.
So maybe it's an obvious, maybe it's a sort of strange question to ask, but you're playing live tonight, obviously. Do you consider yourselves like the same band when you play live as when you record, or is it like kind of almost two different things?
I mean, I think for me it's different headspaces when you're. I think when you're in the studio, you're trying to make something timeless. You're trying to make something that's going to be able to live on forever. But when you're playing live, you just want to be able to bounce off the energy and the vibe in the moment. So for me, I approach them a bit differently. But at the end of the day, it's just to do service to the music, really. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the magic and the beauty of live music, I'm personally trying to get across in the studio, but I don't want it to sound like a live album. And then I guess some of the intricacies and beauty of the studio, I'm trying to get across on stage, but I don't want it to sound like a studio performance. So you're kind of just like Ife said, trying to do justice to the music.
And tonight you're playing sort of basically coinciding with Spain playing in the World Cup. Have you any thoughts what to do if Spain go out? How you can lift the mood?
Well, seeing as we're in Barcelona, I don't know how much Spain love there will be.
It's tricky. It's
confusing, right? I think we're probably just going to ignore the football match. And yeah, I don't think I'm going to get into that tussle on stage, I reckon.
For the best.
Although Ife was updating me on the French score last night when we were playing in France.
Ah, right.
So, yeah, we've had a bit of a trail of clashing with games, you know what I mean?
I was reading as well you'd played the Shrine in Lagos. That's amazing. You played the Shrine in Lagos.
Yeah, we've played it twice now, yeah.
How the hell is that? That must be amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, like, having strong ties to Nigeria and being influenced by so much by like Fela Kuti and his music, to be able to play there is an honour. So like just being able to be there and feel the energy of the place and then being able to play there is amazing. So yeah, to be able to have done it twice is great. So yeah.
Do you ever get intimidated playing somewhere like that? Someone with so much history?
I think when you're playing somewhere like that and the legacy of Fela and the music that he made is that he was just honest and true to the life that he lived and the situations that he was dealing with at the time. So instead of feeling like nervous or anything like that, it's more just like step into your own story and do what you need to do there. And that's kind of what got us there in the first place. So instead of feeling nervous, just lean into who you are and that let that come through the music.
So I lived in London for many years and I haven't lived there for 15 years now. But I kind of see your music in a way as being a bit like a reflection of what is happening in London. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I think for me, I consider London the greatest city in the world. And the reason being really comes down to the diversity and multiculturalism. I think it's just so beautiful. And our music reflects that. From one moment, it would feel like you're in Nigeria. Another moment, it would feel like you're in Brixton. Another moment, it would feel like you're in Kingston. And then, you know, Cuba. So for me, that's kind of what a street in London feels like. And that's, I guess, what we're trying to do with our music.
I find it quite interesting because when I lived in London, you know, 15 years ago, maybe there wasn't that much Latin music, or not as much as...
It was there. It was just tucked away in Elephant
right,
Castle.
Right. Yeah. But there's a lot more now. It's got more influence. Or...
Yeah, they're in Seven Sisters too now. But yeah, no, there's a lot. There's a lot. But I think also Latin American music, just with the rise of reggaeton and artists like Bad Bunny and Kali Uchis, and I think even the things that have happened in Nigeria with Wizkid and Burna Boy, music that isn't spoken in English has never been more popular. If you think of what's happened with stuff coming out of South Korea as well, which is a positive thing, I think it's given space and a rise for some of that stuff to come forward.
Totally. How about, are you aware of much like Barcelona music, Catalan music, that kind of thing?
Personally, for myself, no. But I mean, being at the festival today, we're being able to hear some acts. So hopefully, I can check some out today. But yeah, that's something I need to discover myself.
I'm a big Rosalía fan.
Yeah.
And I saw her for the first time here probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And then aside from that, I quite liked some of the Spanish guitar things with flamenco influences and tango influences. And I've recently gotten into watching lots of like flamenco dancers and stuff. But by way of the stuff happening right now, I'm not too clued up, but looking forward to getting more so.
I mean, it feels to me, I might be wrong, it feels to me like if you wanted to, you could incorporate almost anything into your music, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think if all five of us like something, it will happen. I'm trying to think of what would be difficult. I mean, maybe heavy metal could be tricky at points, but generally speaking, I think it could always get there.
Yeah, I think, just for us, as long as it makes sense and it's something that we can identify with and speaks to our personality, then there's no reason for it to not have a place in our music.
So your fourth album, Here Because of Hope, is released in September. It's an interesting title, I mean, in these times when I think a lot of people are feeling a bit hopeless, I think. How do you feel? I mean, do you feel kind of hope in with the way things are? Do you feel...
Well, I think my relationship with the word hope at the moment is kind of on a spectrum, with one end being pain and the other end being joy. And I feel like hope is what gets you from that pain to that joy. So even a place of feeling, I wouldn't say that I'm feeling hopeless. Maybe I'm feeling pain.
Right.
But I always feel like there's a way of getting out of that. And that's how I'm feeling at the moment, if you like. So yeah, definitely. I think there's always a capacity for hope.
The song Well Organized starts with a steel pan melody that came from when you were visiting Connecticut Rock On.
Yeah.
Is that like a sort of music club, youth club?
It's a youth club that Ife and I both attended when we were kids, and they were rehearsing in the same building that we used to attend. And that steel pan, I recorded it on my iPad. And it's that iPad recording on the record as well.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, those kids, they sounded beautiful, and it added something special to the album.
One thing I like about you that you've been saying is you're very much advocates for going out and doing it yourself. Like, you know, a youth club is great, or a government scheme or something is great, but like, it's got to start with yourself, right? I guess, how did you come to that kind of thinking? Like, where did you come to that?
I just think, like, everyone has the power to do something. You know, everyone has a talent, everyone has a gift, everyone has opportunities that they can bestow upon other people. So as long as everyone just takes that responsibility and that initiative to do what they need to do for others, that's kind of how everyone benefits. And it's like how I've been able to learn trumpet and have so many beautiful opportunities to take me to where I am today. You know, I should be doing that for other people as well. So I think that's kind of what we try and do with the platform and the level we're at now with our, as artists, is being able to use that and help other people experience some of the things that we can experience now as well. So, yeah.
So you famously covered Sun Ra. You famously covered Sun Ra. That strikes me as a very difficult thing to do. How on earth do you cover Sun Ra?
To be fair, the melodies, Sun Ra's melodies are so powerful,
yeah,
beautiful and melodic. And I feel like his music, if anything, when I'm listening to Sun Ra, I feel inspired to be brave and change things. And so it just kind of came naturally. It was a love for his music. And we've covered two tracks, Loving Out of Space and Space is the Place. We should do another one soon. But yeah, he's a hero of ours.
Which one would you do?
Oh, Moving Spaceways.
Right.
Probably be next on the list. Yeah.
And I think it became an anthem in a club, you were saying?
Yeah, Space is the Place was one of the original Ezra Collective club shifters. Yeah. We're going back a while now. We haven't played that in a long time.
Right. I love the idea of a club kind of like going mad to Sun
Ra. It was a shock to, as much as a shock to them as it was to us.
I was talking about the new album again. You've got Leona Lewis on it as well, right? How did that happen?
It was just one of those, we finished making a tune. It felt like it had something that was missing. And we were just thinking of the most beautiful voices that have come out of the UK, but that are also in our phone book type thing. And Leona had for years been messaging positive messages to us, like, love your music, love what you're doing, keep going. Just always supporting us kind of behind the scenes. So when the opportunity arose, it was natural to just give her a ring and be like, are you up for this? And she was like, yeah, straight away. And yeah, man, it was amazing making music with her. Played it live the other day and it was like really precious. So yeah, I'm grateful to her. She's a special woman.
I was looking at some of the things you've achieved. Brit Awards, Mercury Music Prize, playing Wembley Arena. I mean, loads and loads of things. Was there ever a moment where you were like, I can't believe we're here?
I think yeah, we've had a lot of beautiful successes over, especially over like the past 2-3 years, but it's been a gradual journey for the whole time. But I think, you know, as much as you appreciate, you celebrate the awards, you just, you know, you keep moving forward. You don't want to get caught up in your own sauce and like lose track of actually what got you there in the first place. So as much as you celebrate those things and be very grateful for the awards, you always look forward to what's happening next because the story is not done. So just keep writing every chapter of the story each day. So, yeah.
And I mean, how much has it changed, like playing somewhere like Wembley Arena, like a kind of vast, you know, 10,000 people? Do you kind of change what you do to reach out to that? Or
I think you have to adapt to every room and environment. But I think one of the beautiful things at the moment is that we're playing a lot of different types of shows and venues. Like we've played Wembley, what was it, last year or year before? And then we played, you know, we still do some jazz clubs here and there. We play jazz festivals. We play, you know, more pop culture festivals as well. So I feel like you just adapt to each scenario, but we're still ourselves in each space because we are people that love jazz music, people that love popular music. We love people that love jazz records. So it's not us changing who we are, but more just finding ourselves within which room we're in.
And I find it kind of fascinating because obviously you're a jazz band, you're lots of different bands, well, in my opinion, and you kind of come from a jazz background. Like, how do you think, I remember, like, when I was younger, there was sort of a slight idea that jazz was quite elitist, you know, that you could only really understand it if you, you know, understood, like, musical theory and that kind of thing. Like, has that gone, do you think? Like,
I feel like maybe in London it's disappeared to a degree, which is a positive thing. I think really and truly you just want things to be inclusive. Everyone's invited. And if Ezra's had a small part to play in the broadening of who feels like they can turn up to a jazz club, then that's only a positive thing, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
So do you have much time in Barcelona? Do you have time to go and listen to music, go
and
eat?
We are out at 5 a.m.
Really? So,
yeah, I'm going to get ready for the show now, play the show. If I have some batteries, I might go out tonight.
Right.
But we'll see what happens. No promises.
One final question. I love drummers and I love drumming. Who's your favourite drummers?
Dead or alive?
Anyone.
Oh, we've spoken about Uncle Tony already, so I'll leave him out. But at the moment, I'm back in an Art Blakey phase.
Right.
Art Blakey for now.
Beautiful.
Yeah, perfect. Who's yours?
Do you know, I really like Clyde Stubblefield.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
I don't know, like being able to make a beat like the Funky Drummer.
Yeah.
And you listen to that and you just think, how could a human have made that?
I listened to Playback yesterday. He's cold.
He's just sort of amazing,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly that.
And also, John Bonham.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Really
as well.
Like him. Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, but anyway, yeah.
My guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.